Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in, as I mentioned, the second week of Easter, this Easter tide, as it's called. And the whole idea is that there's this transformation that takes place in the aftermath of the resurrection. And we see the two appearances that Jesus had with the disciples about 8 days apart. First day, the disciples just didn't believe. They saw the empty tomb, they wondered, but they didn't believe until they saw Jesus. Only problem was, Thomas wasn't there, and so he refused to believe, even though they pleaded with him. We have seen the Lord. Well, Jesus appears, and Thomas gets to see Jesus firsthand. There's that beautiful confession, my Lord and my God, and yet, Jesus says those words, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. More takes place as Jesus appears to other disciples, even 500 people at one location. And there's that beautiful scene on the shores of the Sea of Galilee as Peter, who's still in self-doubt because of his betrayal of Jesus. And Jesus lovingly restores him through forgiveness and grace. Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus sends him and all of them on a mission. Feed my sheep. That's what we're talking about here today. Oftentimes, this second Sunday of Easter, we look at Thomas and we get into the whole doubting side of things, but today we want to concentrate on the fact that Jesus says, I am sending you. We're on a mission. We're on a mission to carry out ministry. We have seen what we have seen, we have heard what we have heard, we have read what we have read, and Jesus is risen, and because he lives, we are on a meaningful mission. That's what today is all about, and we couldn't have a clearer example than in our text for today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Now, all of that had happened in the aftermath of the resurrection, but then came Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on his disciples, and they stood up, and they went from fearful and wondering to boldness and proclaiming the word of the Lord through signs and wonders. These disciples turned apostles. And in case you're wondering, disciples are followers. Disciples are those, apostles are those who are sent out by Christ on a mission to proclaim that message of forgiveness and grace. The sure hope that we have in Jesus Christ as our risen Lord. But by chapter 5 of Acts, it's already the second time disciples, apostles, have been put in prison because they were out there boldly proclaiming forgiveness and grace through Jesus Christ. You're kind of like, maybe you should stop. Like, it just keeps ending up in you in prison. I mean, come on. Let's use a little common sense. Maybe do it a little more quietly. Maybe just do kind of the home church thing, where you quietly go about your business. Why do you have to stand out there in the middle of the temple and proclaim that message of Jesus Christ? You know it's going to irritate the leaders. You know you're pointing your finger at them. I mean, why risk the financial ruin? Why risk just ruining your life? Why risk your life to do this and keep on doing this? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Keep your head down. Keep your opinion to yourself. Give thanks that you're destined for eternity and don't worry about everybody else, right? I find it kind of interesting in our text for today, and it happens again in Acts chapter 12, that the Lord sends an angel to release the disciples from prison. And angels, they're messengers, right? So you'd think that God would send an angel to preach. Nope, what does he do? He sends an angel to release people for those people to go and preach. That's how God works. And, of course, they get out, and the angel says to them, go stand in the temple and keep on telling the people the whole message about this life. Keep on, keep it on. It's there in the Greek. It's this idea that you just keep on doing it. Don't stop. And they have the confidence that the Sadducees, the ruling council, government, authorities, soldiers, not the gates of hell can stand up against it. Just keep on preaching. And so they go back to it. And they're out there again. And when the apostles are seen, they are arrested yet again. And when they were challenged, and why do you keep doing this? What did they say? We must obey God rather than men. They knew the mission. They were carrying out the ministry. We were like, yeah, Peter, you go. Yeah, John, you go. Yeah, disciples, you apostles, that's great. I'm fine right here, right where I am. You ever stop to consider that that whole we must obey God rather than men is not just a reference for you, but a reference to you? In other words, I must obey God rather than me, a sinful man. I'm compelled by Christ. His love compels me. I need to listen to that voice rather than get in the way, rather than hold back. I mean, no earthly powers can stand up against the proclamation and progression of the gospel. But just think of all the ways that your sinful flesh will keep you from proclaiming. I'm too young. I don't know anything. I'm too busy with my life. I don't have time to do anything. I'm too old. I can't do anything. I'll tell you, one of the most prolific proclaimers of the gospel that I have ever known was in the last 17 years of her life when she was in a care center. Prolific! From witnessing to those who gave her care, to passages that were posted on her door, to Bible studies that she led, to comfort that she gave to others, to the encouragement that was there, I've never met anyone like her. Now the Lord says through the angel, go and keep on telling the people the whole message about this life. Life, huh? We're talking about the life of Christ. We're talking about the living Savior, the life of an apostle, the new life of faith, the life of forgiveness and grace that can be yours in Christ. I mean, which life are we talking about here, Lord? Now, you know the answer. It's all of the life that we are to proclaim. I mean, Jesus isn't just an example for life. He is our motivation. He is our joy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And because he lives, now we live too. Not just for us, but for him who died for us, who gave his life for us, who conquered sin and death for us, giving a reason for the hope that we have in him. It is our mission and it is our ministry that we carry out. And you look at how the apostles, after they heard the angel, they entered the temple courts at daybreak and they began to teach. And when they were arrested yet again, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest challenged them, and they said, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you arrested and killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his right hand as prince and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. That's Christ's love that was compelling them to carry out the mission. Give themselves fully to the work of the Lord. And it isn't easy. You know this. If you have ever served the Lord, if you've ever given of your time, your talents, your treasures, if you have witnessed somebody, you know that it doesn't always go great. You know that they aren't always eager to hear it. You know that sometimes what you're sharing really cuts deep to the heart. I mean, you look at what the disciples, the apostles were saying, and the high priest was determined. He was like, you are determined to bring this man's blood down on us. I'm like, well, yeah. People always want to hear it, that they need a Savior. And yet the message is there. We witness, like the apostles, we have this example, as the book of Hebrews calls it, a great cloud of witnesses that encourage us to live the life of faith, the life of power, the life of confidence. I find it interesting in Acts chapter 4, just before our text for today, the first time that the disciples had been released from prison, they all gathered together as believers, and together they prayed. Not to pray for preservation, not to pray for protection, not to pray for peace, not to pray for a safe place to worship, not to pray for financial security. No, they prayed, now, Lord, look at their threats and give to your servants the ability to keep on speaking your word with all boldness as you stretch out your hand to heal, and as signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That is still happening today. As we boldly proclaim the word of the Lord, we are on a mission. We have a ministry, and we are either mission living or we are not mission living. There's no compromise, no appeasement, no ignoring the compelling love of Christ. Let's be honest, by faith we have seen and heard too much to sit on our hands, to come up with excuses, to undermine efforts or doubt God's powerful promises. Christ is risen, and because he lives, we have meaningful mission to do. One way or the other, let's get to it. Amen.